Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 97 on January 19th, 2015. Changing the world one ass at a time. The first thing I want to throw out there is actually from a previous podcast, and I'm not sure you guys paid enough attention or if I put the link and talked about it well enough, but this is the Swiss couple that we heard from who created a Tumblr to really kind of spice things up in their marriage, among other things, and the pegging, of course, but it's a totally hot Tumblr, and it's called To Fuck and To Hold. So that is the www.tumblr.com/blog/tofuckandhold. But I wanted to draw your attention to it and let you know that I'm going to put that link in my Linkorama again because it's worth not missing. You guys should go look at the pictures because it's beautiful. And let's see here. Let's jump right into some stuff. We heard back from the woman in podcast number 96. Let me refresh your memory just a little bit. This is the woman that has the younger college guy who's a lover, and he's got the black hair, bright blue eyes, and the swimmer's build. Yeah, I thought at least you women out there listening would remember this one. Okay, so she wrote back, and here's what we have. Thank you so much. After listening to the podcast, I called him up and he came over to my place to talk about it. I know it gets said so many times, but clear communication made such a big difference. Apparently, this is an issue that he has also been thinking a lot about lately. He was pretty worried that the lack of PIV sex was a problem for me. And, counter to my initial thoughts, he hadn't thought much about how the issue affected himself. I prodded him and asked if he had been feeling emasculated, and to my surprise, he said no. He acknowledged that his stamina and his size poses a huge problem to having enjoyable PIV sex, and I actually gained so much respect for him when he acknowledged this. Guys can have such a big complex when it comes to their penis size. And he told me that, look, I get it, my cock isn't big enough for you, but my cock isn't necessarily the most important member of every erotic moment that we share together. I mean, it's pretty impressive for a very attractive 21-year-old guy to be this open. So from there, I introduced the idea of him wearing a strap-on, and he loved it. He was really enthused about the idea and suggested that we see if it would be plausible with the harness and one of the dildos that I already have. So I brought it out. He stripped down to try it, and with his size, it actually fit really well. Now, the image of him wearing the harness was very arousing, so I promptly took him to the bedroom for a test run. The dildo he had on was my Colors Pleasures by NS Novelties, which at 8 inches long by 6 inches in circumference is exactly what I need for PIV sex. I was in absolute heaven, and he actually really enjoyed himself. It seemed that he got off on feeling that he had a big dick. I actually really liked the idea you suggested for using the same dildo, so when we were done, I put his face down in the bed and let him know it was my turn. We normally use the Tantus slow drive, so this dildo was certainly a challenge for him, but I think there's something to be said about fucking a guy with a big dick. I just want to thank you again for responding and giving your opinion and advice. At my age, it's not so often a gorgeous young man walks into your life, and I really want to make sure that we remain lovers. Though had I not simply communicated with him like you advised, I could have easily seen the whole issue blowing up and harming our relationship. Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's awesome. And congratulations to the young man, because as I said, sometimes the hetero guys freak out when you suggest strapping it on, and it sounds like you have an incredibly mature 21-year-old on your hands there. And I love the description of how it all went down. So, yes, good job on the communication, and congratulations to you both on kind of getting over that hurdle, talking about it, figuring it out. So often it's like this, where you've got something in your mind, and you're thinking about, oh, I wonder if X, Y, and Z is happening inside his head, and he's feeling this way. And he is doing the exact same thing. And if you just sit down and talk about it, it turns out not to be a problem at all, and you're actually totally on the same page. And then you find another way cool, sexy thing to do with each other where he gets to feel like he's got the big dick and you're satisfied with the PIV you're getting. Wow, win-win all the way around. Well done. Well done, I say. Okay, let's move to the next letter here. I'm a student here in Southern California at UCLA, and I wanted to let you know that me and my girlfriends absolutely love your blog. It seems that pegging has become pretty popular on college campuses, and your blog has definitely helped to educate a lot of people here at UCLA. I actually think the way in which pegging is viewed on college campuses is a really interesting subject. Even though there are a lot of guys that have been pegged, it's not something that they'll admit or talk about. On the other hand, girls who have pegged love to talk about it with each other, and it's something that girls find really empowering. Regarding my question, one of my partners and I peg on a pretty frequent basis. We've increased the size of the dildos we use over time and are currently using the Outlaw by Vixkin. It's about 9 inches long by 6 inches in circumference, so it's a pretty big toy. I love using it, and he really gets off on the stretching feeling it provides. However, since we use it so frequently, I was wondering if he may be doing any temporary or permanent damage to his anus. The dildo is a pretty substantial size, and I hope that the fun we're having now won't lead to any issues in the future. Okay, I looked up the Outlaw by Vixkin, first of all. It is 8 inches long, insertable. And, 8.5. It's not 9, it's 8.5. It's a very small half inch we're talking about, but... And for those of you who don't really think in terms of circumference, it's actually 2 inches in diameter. So it is a pretty big toy, absolutely. The Outlaw is pretty decent sized. And I'm going to refer you to a couple of things. First, I'm just going to go real quick over the whole idea of, can I cause any damage? Here's the short story on that. The short story is that right there at the rectum, there are two anal sphincters that are concentric circles. The outer one is smooth muscle and can stretch a long, long, long ways, which is why you see these porn clips of huge insertions, fisting, double fisting, all kinds of wild things, right? So it can stretch a long, long way, and then it can go back and work perfectly well. This sphincter is supported by 3 huge sets of muscles in the pelvic area and is very well supported to do the job that it's meant to do. And smooth muscle is sort of like when you go to yoga and you stretch. Your muscles don't stay stretched out. They go back to where they were before. So no worries on that going back. So, okay, let's go back to the sphincters. You have an inner sphincter that is made of involuntary muscle tissue, and that does have a limitation as to how far it can stretch. So again, going into the short story, because I'm going to give you the link in the Linkorama, and it's got a big long article. And the short story is that yes, this sphincter can become completely useless and ineffective if you stretch it too far. Now that sounds scary and everybody's going, oh my God. But what's really happening is that many times, anybody who has had a few bad bouts of constipation and passed a bowel movement that's about 2 times the size of a normal one has already done as much damage as they're going to do to that sphincter anyway. And the first sphincter that I mentioned, which is the big one supported by all the muscles, completely takes over for that. Most of the time what happens is that inner sphincter is more effective and comes into play more with gas and liquids. So if you did a ton of huge insertion anal play and your bowels were completely liquid, then you might have a problem. But some time ago in one of my podcasts, I'm not sure if I did it on the podcast or if it was just a message, a guy wrote in and said, look, my girlfriend and I have been pegging a bunch, and now it seems like I can fart easier. So what's the deal? And actually, that's true. Because that inner sphincter becomes inoperative. It's nothing to worry about because the other sphincter completely takes over for it. If this were not the case, we would hear all kinds of stories about fecal incontinence from those people that do those clips in porn with the huge insertions. And that is simply just not the case. That does not mean that you can go as hard as you want, as fast as you want, as big as you want, and use sharp things, because those are the cardinal rules of no-nos for any anal insertion, so don't go there. However, no, you are not doing any lasting damage, and if you have worked slowly up to this size, you're awesome, he's awesome, you're having a good time. This won't lead to any issues in the future. I guarantee if you follow those cardinal rules, you're going to be just fine. And as an aside, I am thrilled that pegging is a big deal on the campuses. If there was some way that I could get my information out there to the campuses in a way to let people know my resources here for all of the people who are interested, maybe the sororities would like to know, since the girls are talking about it and the guys aren't. I don't know. But I'm thrilled to know that I'm actually a topic of conversation at UCLA. Enjoy yourselves. Okay, now I've got a great story for you. Hello, Ruby. My husband and I enjoy your Pegging Paradise site and podcast very much. He has written you a few times in the past. He was shy about asking to be pegged. You were very nice to give him advice. We have both gotten past the taboo of pegging and both love it. When he asks me to wear my red corset, I know he wants me to fuck him with my strap on. He also had asked you for advice for a non-realistic dildo that you would recommend from my Vaculock harness. I had my pink leather Doc Johnson Vaculock strap on for almost 10 years. It has served me well in fucking many ladies in the past, and more recently my husband. I'm sure the cheap dildo attachment that came with it could cause UTI infections while having girl-girl play, so I've been covering it with a condom in recent years. Anyway, a few months ago you suggested the beauty silicone attachment for my Vaculock harness. I ordered it a few weeks ago, and it showed up just before Christmas. Well, my husband had quite the surprise this morning. He was sleeping in bed naked, and I pulled the covers off him and quickly hit his ass with the sting of my crop. That woke him to see me in my cupless red corset as well as my harness and new 8-inch purple beauty curved attachment. He was still a little confused as I blindfolded him and put a ball gag in his mouth. I told him not to move as I gave him a blowjob. He was so hard and excited as I sucked his bald cock. I, too, was very excited as I slid his cock into my wet pussy, then took out my favorite toy, the Hitachi magic wand, and rode him hard till I came. I love the Hitachi. Then it was his turn to be fucked in the ass. I covered the new beauty attachment with a condom because I only had silicone lube. Then I had him get on all fours. I could tell how bad he wanted it in him. I still have a little trouble finding his asshole for entry, but once I entered him, he let out such a sexy moan. I might have had the attachment curve facing the wrong way at first. I had the curved tip curving to his back as I fucked him doggy style. He still seemed to enjoy it as I fucked him deeper and deeper. I really got excited watching him take it all in, but he made me crazy when he looked back and started grinding on my strap-on. I just grabbed his hips and pounded his ass so hard for being such a little slut. He fell flat on his stomach and was jerking his cock. Think I might have bottomed out in him once because he moaned so loud and pulled away before pushing back into me. I soon removed the ball gag and had him lay on his back. It was the first time I fucked him missionary style. I had his legs spread wide and entered him again missionary. This time the curve of the new beauty attachment was aimed to his prostate. It really must have been hitting the spot, because with every stroke a steady stream of pre-cum was pouring from his cock. It was so sexy, fucking him and looking into his eyes as I took his ass. I then told him to jerk himself off as I fucked him. He came on command and shot cum so high into the air and all over himself. I then pulled out and told him what a bitch he was and such a good fuck. He said he is still a little sore, and every time he sits down, it reminds him of me taking his ass for the first 30 minutes of Christmas morning. I just wanted to share this story with you, Ruby. Please feel free to read it on Pegging Paradise. P.S. If you like, you can also post the picture of me in my red cupless corset. And she told me where to find that. And yes, you are going to be treated to that, because what is this fabulous story without that visual picture for us to gaze at and appreciate? You guys are having so much fun. Oh my gosh. The whole waking him up thing? Wow. I don't think I've ever thought of hitting him with my crop to wake him up. That's a new one. But it sounds like he was not complaining at all. I really like the idea of riding him first with the Hitachi. I like that idea a lot. Because as I've mentioned in other podcasts, my orgasms are kind of shy. And I'm going to should myself here. I should be spending more time making sure I get off first before I get him off. Maybe that'll be my resolution for 2015. Oh my God, I've said it out loud on my podcast. Now it kind of has to be, huh? But I do like that idea because I love tying men up. You guys have heard me talk about that before, but riding with the Hitachi while he's there helpless watching me, that sounds like a really good time. And then I could fuck him. Okay, so you've inspired me, clearly. I will gladly post your beautiful picture. And thank you for writing in with that hot story. All you people out there listening and jerking off and, you know, fingers in your pussies. Yeah, indeed. Totally hot story. Okay, deep breath. Here's another one. Another letter. Have you ever pegged a very dominant male? I am one of those, and feel like getting fucked. Some say dominant men cannot be dominant if they get pegged. I say total bullshit. You? This is a recurring theme. Part of the reason it's a recurring theme, and we keep coming back to this question on a regular basis, which I don't mind. I like talking about everything having to do with pegging, is because technically you do have to be vulnerable and receptive to receive pegging from a woman. So you have to open up and receive, and that can be seen as submissive. You are the passive partner rather than the active partner. This kind of, it gets into definitions. You know, what is submissive? Just because you're receiving, does that mean you're submissive? I say no. I agree with you, sir. I think that there is a certain degree of vulnerability that you cannot avoid simply because you are being penetrated. But I don't at all think that that means that all of a sudden you get thrown into the big grouping of you are now submissive and you cannot be dominant. And I've talked about this before and thrown out a bunch of ideas there because I run around in worlds, not just the pegging world, but also the BDSM world, and I get this question a fair amount from dominant men. Dominant men like to have their asses fucked too. And if they have a DS relationship, then my thoughts on some of the things that you can do are you can take her and tie her to a chair and put a blindfold on her and a ball gag in, and you can ride her right there on the chair. You can tie her to the bed and do the cowboy thing. Same sort of idea. Or you could even have a collar and a leash on her, which some people really enjoy. She could be maybe behind you fucking you doggy style, and you could be controlling the depth and the speed of those thrusts with the leash. She could be fucking you missionary style, and you could be controlling that with a leash. No, you don't have to be submissive. Yes, dominant men can get fucked and stay dominant. And I'm happy to reassure you dominant guys of that, because to be honest, that's the kind of men I love fucking the most, are the dominant ones. I love seeing the contrast of that incredibly masculine, dominant guy, and all that masculinity falls away and the vulnerability is there, and it's one of the most beautiful things that happen in my bed. All right, I got fucking waxing poetic here. Okay, moving on. Let's see. My name is, and I wanted to talk to you about pegging. I love it. I've done it a few times and had a question about lube. Last night I used Astroglide on my jelly dildo in my plus size harness kit. It ended up getting thick, white, kind of making like little balls clumped up together. Weird, even on my cock. Was this a bad reaction? Wrong lube? Never happened before. My other dildo is pink, but it's not jelly. Help. Okay, this is going to be a quick lube and toy lesson. And once again, I'm going to give you the links. I feel like I should put this in the Linkorama every freaking time, because it just needs, the information needs to get spread around. But throw the jelly toy away. Just throw it a fucking away, because it's a horrible toy. It's toxic, and you don't want it. You want 100% silicone toys. And you want to buy them from trusted manufacturers because the jelly one has chemicals in it that can leach into your body. And these are chemicals that have been banned in children's toys. So Astroglide is not a good lube. And there's some studies that show that the stuff in Astroglide kind of breaks down the cells in the inside of wherever you put it. And I posted that link a long time ago, but suffice to say, Astroglide is pretty bad. There's a whole list of ingredients that should not be in lube if you want to have the best lube. the very best, the holy grail of pegging lubes. And again, I'll post the link to that. In my opinion, is Silk, and it's made by the Slickwood company. It's got enough heft and thickness to it that it works really well for pegging, because when you do anal stuff, you want thickness, you want heft to it, you want there to be a little bit of creaminess and thickness to the lube, so that it then can it cushions the ride inside, basically. So that's the holy grail. That I'll leave a link to that, but there are other ones that work as well, and I like to avoid the ones that have preservatives, which are parabens. I like to avoid propylene glycol, because that's an alcohol derivative that can dry things out. I like to avoid glycerin, because glycerin can have a subtle laxative effect. And I like to avoid any kind of sugars, because sugars can cause yeast infections in women. So, let's see, those are the basics. And I also like to avoid petroleum products. I think those are kind of gross. That's not something I want inside me. If you want the cheapest, then get some coconut oil and use that. And that'll be a totally fine thing to use. It can stain your sheets, so be prepared for that. But that's the basics on the lube lesson. Throw the Astroglide away. It's horrible shit. It's horrible. Alrighty. And, you know, I'm going to probably get some letters from people saying, we use Astroglide all the time and we love it. And that's awesome for you. I'm happy for you. But what can I say? I'm kind of a lube elitist bitch. And especially because I am actually recording this in the morning, and I never do this. So if you kind of get a little bit of an attitude from me, maybe it's because I haven't had my coffee yet, and I almost always record these late at night. My schedule's gotten a little packed lately, so we've got the morning Ruby. If you notice anything different, feel free to write in and let me know. Thank you for writing in, sir. I hope that answers your question. Get some good toys, get some good lube, and have a lovely time with your ass. Okay, next letter. I want to try this with my girlfriend. I finger myself when masturbating sometimes, and it feels great, and I love it when she's dominant. But she is extremely embarrassed by any talk of poo. She is afraid to even let me know when she has pooed, as if I didn't know she did it. I also want to do anal play of any sort with her, but she is uncomfortable about trying that too. Any tips? You know, I just took a really awesome anal sex class from Tristan Terramino, and she has some incredible resources out there which might be something that can kind of ease your girlfriend into the whole idea of anal sex in such a gradual way and informational way, which is really, really important, that she could get over whatever it is that's holding her back. See, there's so many things that can get us in a situation emotionally and mentally where we kind of freak out about the poo thing. Who knows? Maybe when you were a small child, you got spanked for getting poo somewhere and painting it on the wall with your fingers. You know, kids do all kinds of wild things. Maybe you were told over and over again that that part of your body is a horrible place to play with, and it's dirty and it's gross. See what I mean? So you get the feedback and the reinforcement in the wrong direction, so that that becomes this part of your body that makes you really nervous and is not comfortable. And even though mentally you may know, now that you're an adult, that this is a place that can actually provide you with an amazing amount of pleasure, it's really hard to get past that conditioning. So I think the first place to start is information. Tristan Terramino wrote a book that is called Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex. And I believe it's the Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Women. Now, the reason I'm recommending that, even though clearly, you know, we're kind of going over into your territory as well, is that you would like to do anal play with her as well. But Tristan is so good at sort of normalizing things and giving you all the facts and telling you why you shouldn't be concerned about poo, or why you don't have to be concerned about the whole poo and germs. And because it's hard to say whether or not she's had the conditioning, or whether she's germ-phobic, or it could be something that neither of us have thought about so far. It could be something entirely unrelated to those two. But Tristan's good at giving you all the information and kind of normalizing it, so it just then you have all of the details, you can relax and you know that it's just one more way to potentially feel pleasure. There are more nerve endings in the opening of your rectum and your anal opening than there are in the back half of the vagina, okay? So this is a really, potentially a really, really, what's the word? It's nerve ending filled, and it is an erotic zone. It is absolutely an erogenous zone. That is the word I was looking for. So it's definitely on the list of erogenous zones. And I think just talking with her about it, don't talk with her about it in bed, okay? And if you give her things to read, then she might sort of lose that nervousness. Oh my God, he wants to talk about that again. And she can read those things and then digest it in her own time. You also need patience and you need communication. So before you do any of this, one of the most important things is that you two can actually talk about sex. Because if you're not talking about sex in bed, then it's much more of a fence to jump over, a huge wall to jump over, if all of a sudden you want to talk about something that makes her uncomfortable and is taboo. So hopefully you have some decent communication around sex. And if you don't, then start practicing that. And then just keep mentioning it every once in a while. You want to mention it relaxed. You want to give her information. You want to keep mentioning occasionally that you would love to try it and that you're willing to go as totally as slow as she wants to go. She might also have some fear about it being painful because a lot of women have either had a bad experience with anal sex or they've heard that from their girlfriends. So to let her have complete control over the exploration of her body is, of course, imperative. But also to give her information about how much pleasure it can potentially cause you. If she's a G-spot girl, then let her know that you potentially can receive just as much pleasure from your prostate, which is why you want to explore it. Tristan, in her class that I went to yesterday, so this is really timely that I'm answering this question of yours, said, look, you know, poo is poo. And basically, if you get in the shower, okay, you buy one of those Fleet enemas, those disposable Fleet enemas. You go to the drugstore and you buy one of those, and then you come home and you open it up and you dump it out. The reason you dump it out is because there's actually something in there that has a slight laxative effect, and that's the last thing you want. And you're in the shower and you fill it up and you put it inside yourself and you push it out, and you fill it up and you push it inside yourself and you push it out. And that's what you do until the water runs clear. And then that way there is no poo in the rectal canal. Now, I just from the way that you've written this and you say you're a girlfriend, I'm thinking maybe you're younger, but you didn't give me really any tips as to how young you are. The younger you are, the better your body is still functioning, and poo doesn't sit in the rectal canal. So basically, you're just rinsing yourself out just to make sure. And then you take soap and water, and you take soap that is really mild, mild soap with no perfumes and dyes and just basic, like even like a bar glycerin soap or something like that. Wash the outside of your ass and you are good to go. And the thing is, you know, some people actually put tongues in asses. I am one of those people that loves that. It's called rimming. And sticking my tongue in an ass that has been prepared in the manner that I just described actually puts it in contact with far less germs than sticking your tongue on a whole lot of other really awfully dirty things, like handling money and then licking your fingers. You know, I could go on and on. There are germs everywhere. So if it's the germ-phobic thing, yeah, asses really do not have the whole, they're cleaner than you think. Let me just put it that way, if you clean them the right way. So the best suggestions I can come up with. I think information is good. And also, the critical thing is patience. So you're going to have communication, information, and patience. And I think you'll eventually get there. But don't push. And bring it up every once in a while. And she may be much more open to the idea of exploring you first. Gloves on her hands, you know, exploring you first. That might help as well. Okay, and let us know how it goes, because, yes, erogenous zones, big ones you guys are missing out on. I'm glad you know that, and I hopefully she will mellow out, get a little bit more comfortable with it, and you guys can have a good time. Alrighty, here we go. Next letter. So, I don't know if you can help me, but hopefully you'll be able to point me in the right direction at the very least. I have been a fan of anal play for quite some time, and naturally I found myself getting intrigued by the idea of being pegged. I read much on the subject of safe toys and safe practices. I was fortunate enough to stumble upon your site and its contents before I elected to give this a try. Hats off to you for your work against toxic toys. My issue is one that I have yet to find an answer for, as I suspect few have the same kink as I do and the same medical condition. When I began experimenting with anal play, I quickly realized how messy an endeavor this can be, how easily one forgets just what comes out of there on a regular basis. So I turned to the net and searched for a way to have a cleaner experience. Try as I might, I find that it is still too messy and find it difficult to enjoy myself knowing there will be a shitty mess to clean once complete. In all my research, it seems as though my particular medical condition might be getting in the way. I have chronic constipation. Had it since birth. I understand that douching and enemas can be harmful to the body with frequent use, but I can't rely on my body to clean itself out well enough on its own in a single bowel movement. I understand that squeaky clean is too much to ask, but my toys coming out significantly browner than I remembered, and cleaning them is becoming a bit much. What's your advice for the medically challenged anal lover? Wow, having these letters back to back is really interesting, because this is really rare, sir. I have never run across someone with your particular problem before. And so, yes, that's why you haven't heard it on my podcast or written about in my blog, chronic constipation. Well, one of the first things that it makes me think of is that you may be someone who gets to indulge in the pegging thing less frequently because of your medical condition. So I'm going to put that right out there. Because I do think that the best way to approach it would be to do just a plain saltwater enema, saline enema, because they have recipes on the internet of how much salt to put in the water that goes inside you. And the reason that I suggest saline water is because it's a little bit more balanced and it's going to affect the tissues in there less than plain tap water. But to do a more high volume cleaning out of yourself might be in order for you because of the chronic constipation to make sure that you are cleaned out. And since you've had it since birth, I'm imagining that you've know all the rules about eating well and a whole bunch of roughage and all of that. There are many ways to try and deal with that you probably have looked into because you've had it so long, but still it can't hurt to have a very high fiber diet, eat a lot of fresh food, not a lot of meats, not a lot of processed food, in order to try and normalize that, or at least make it less constipated than it would be normally. It sounds like maybe something's happening in your body that is doing it as opposed to your diet affecting it, is what I'm getting, because I'm not familiar with this medical condition really at all, so I don't understand it as well as I could. But if you need to do an enema beforehand every time and kind of clean yourself out up higher, I'm not sure if you've tried that or not, because I know that in your message you wrote that you're concerned about doing it too much because it can upset the natural bacterial flora. But if that's what it takes to get you there and to have it be a cleaner experience, then, because there are people who do enema play, okay? And yes, it does upset the natural bacterial flora, but those people who do enemas all the time, they don't seem to have any huge difficulties or bad results from doing their enema play, which is they see in like a sexual manner, fairly often. So, you know, ask your doctor. Ask your doctor about it. Tell him you want to do some anal play and that you are concerned about how often you could do enemas, and you're also looking for the most benign liquid to use. And you're not interested. And, you know, if your doctor says use Fleet enemas, then go find a different doctor. Find someone that is tuned into the more natural way of dealing with things. I don't know. Doctors have their formulas and their things that they recommend, but ask him about it, or her. I don't want to make any assumptions here about the gender of your physician, but ask and find out if there's any concerns that you should have that go with your condition, if more frequent enemas can actually be something that can not only help you have this pleasure with the toys, but is something that might help you with the constipation as well. I wish I had a better answer for you. And so if anybody out there has encountered this who's listening, please write in if I have not touched on anything that you found is helpful, how you handle it, that kind of thing. Because what you describe of toys coming out really brown and shitty messes and things like that is so, so rare in the pegging world. I mean, every once in a while that happens, but normally it's a very small mess. And normally it's really not that big of a deal. Normally it's not a big mess at all. And most of the time it's no mess if you've prepared yourself correctly. So yeah, if anybody's out there that has the chronic constipation thing and has any hints, please write in, because I feel a little lacking in this field, with this question, because I don't know enough about the condition itself. Okay, let's see here. Not new to pegging, but just realized it's a thing that's more common than I thought. Was wondering, since you seem to be one of the authorities on the subject, do you know of a fitness class that would help tone up muscles that are needed for proper pegging? I'm over 50, never had a lot of good tone in my lower back or abs, and I'm finding that even with regular sessions, it just isn't happening. Would love to know what else I can do in my off time, parentheses, I work at home, to get some more resilience. Unfortunately for me, I'm in another state and cannot attend your strap-on sex class. Thank you for any reply you can offer, and thank you for all the advice you give on your website. It's marvelous. You know, I'm getting this question more often since I wrote that piece about how amazing it was to hit my stride with the conjunction of pegging and physical fitness. And it's really made me think about it. I work out at a gym, and I am doing abdominals. I am doing the machine that makes you have your legs and they're kind of straight, and then you push them in, so you're exercising the inner thighs and the outer thighs, adductor and abductor, I think it's called. I lift a fair amount of weight on both of those. I do the abdominal machine, like I mentioned, and these, I'm telling you the things that I think really help. But you know, Those two are fairly critical because of leg strength and core strength. Core strength is critical because you're doing a lot of balancing and things. But to be honest with you, that's not it. That's not the only thing. Because I do a full workout and I work out my arms, and you will find that a certain amount of arm strength, depending on the position that you're in, is critical as well. So, you know, let's see, what can you do at home? The first thing that I would say you should be doing at home is to be doing abdominals, because the core strength is where it all kind of emanates from, and it makes it just an easier thing to do is to do the pegging. There are a lot of positions that rely on core strength, but I don't really have a program that I can refer you to. If you were going to a gym, I could say, well, you should do this and this and this, and these are the things that I do because the machines are right there and it's no big deal. But working out at home, you're going to have to be getting like little handheld weights probably for doing weightlifting with your arms. Exercising the deltoids seems to be very important for me because that shoulder strength and the bicep strength is really important in especially missionary position. So, that's the best information I have for you. I don't really have a program that I can refer you to at home, like I mentioned. But, before I sign off of this question, cardiovascular is really important because that would be the endurance part of the formula. Your muscles can be really strong, but if you really don't have the cardiovascular to keep going, you won't be able to. I work out on the elliptical machine, and I've started doing interval training. And what I do is I get on the interval machine, and they have settings where you can see how many strides you're doing per minute. I do 170 strides per minute for 3 minutes as a warm-up. And then I go 1 minute all out as fast as I can, which is usually about 200 to 210 strides per minute for 1 minute, and then I rest for a minute. Then I go as fast as I can for a minute, and then I rest for a minute. I've done some research and found out that interval training is actually more bang for your buck. If you do interval training of some sort, you are getting more effect for the time you spend exercising. I think I heard a special on NPR talking about it, or it was one of the podcasts I listened to. I think it was Freakonomics. And they said that a 30-minute interval training workout gives you as much exercise as just being steady and doing cardiovascular for 90 minutes. That got my attention because time is all too critical recently. I've gotten really, really busy. So don't miss the cardiovascular part of it. And there are many ways to do that at home. You know, you can get a bicycle. You can go out bicycling. You can get a stationary bike. You can get a Stairmaster thing. There's a bunch of different ways to get cardiovascular. But don't ignore that part of it because it is critical. Okay, let's see here. Ruby, I know you'll be one for this question of mine. I am a Christian husband and my wife is Christian as well. I saw an article about it and I feel like it was too liberally based, but I can also speak on that as well if you'd like to discuss that view. For my pegging question, I'm reading this article, and then he puts a link to Can Pegging Cause Eventual Incontinence? My question was that I'm into powerlifting and heavy weightlifting. My wife and I also thought of getting into pegging. I'm a semi-beginner. I've done a finger or two. My record is 3 to myself before. My concern is that when I go to do heavy lifts, even a maximal effort, one repetition, as much weight as I can, for a lower body lift like a squat or deadlift, I would hate to worry about something happening or leaking from my bowels during the lift. I've heard it strengthens your muscles when done right and in moderation. I spoke to a fellow who has done a 13-inch circumference plug. That's a bit extreme for me. I just ordered a plug with a suction cup, maximum 4-inch circumference. Also a strap-on harness dildo, max circumference 4 3/4 inches. That kind of seems intimidating. We'll probably use coconut oil as lube. Then if I keep a plug in, wash my hands and use silicone and a latex condom for PIV. How do you feel about these things? The weights definitely were a concern of mine as I love lifting heavy. Thanks. And then he continued writing addendums to this as he kept reading the article further and reacting to things. Okay. And he quotes my article here. Actually, what he's quoting is he's quoting me quoting someone else in my article. But anyone who thinks using objects around 3 fingers wide is no big deal probably has already done about as much damage as they can to the inner sphincter. And then he writes, this is a concern. The article kind of worries me. So a sharp going in too much can instantly cause damage. And if it's wider than 3 fingers, you've damaged your muscles. It almost sounds like pegging isn't something that should be done. And then last but not least, he quotes my article again. And again, he's quoting me, quoting a person who wrote in and gave me this information. Repeated and frequent bruising can lead to cancer or other annoying things. Once or twice a month is probably the limit for your high-speed pile driver imitations. And then he writes, scary as hell. I guess the defense of the body wasn't designed for this sounds good. Sorry for additional messages. Just caught these things. Okay, so this is all in reaction to the article I wrote about can pegging ruin your ass forever, or can it cause fecal incontinence? Okay. Once again, I refer to earlier in the podcast, you need to follow the cardinal rules. Not too big, too fast, and not enough lube, too sharp. There's actually 4. There's 4 cardinal rules, because not enough lube is definitely one of them. So the very first thing you mention is going in too fast. The first thing you mentioned is 3 fingers wide is no big deal and it's probably already done as much damage as they can to the inner sphincter. Yes, the inner sphincter does get damaged, and yes, it does have a limit as far as it can stretch. But again, unless you're passing gas or you have liquid bowel movements when you are lifting, you don't need to worry about it. And you can't tell me that guys who lift heavy have never farted at an inopportune moment, because that's an awful lot of pressure to put on your body to do the squats and the deadlifts and things like that. So I don't think I would worry about it at all, as long as you have a healthy diet and your bowel movements are solid. It's not something that's going to happen, especially with the circumference that you mentioned. This is not a large toy, so please don't worry about it at all. But be sensible. Be smart about it. You don't ever want to put anything sharp in your rectum, ever, in your ass. Sharp is no, 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 and no. And when I say sharp, I mean toys, I mean household items, if you are, you know, inspired and under the influence of alcohol, things have been known to happen like this. Sharp is also fingernails. No sharp. Not happening. So sharp is a no. Too big, too fast is a no. And this is really moderated a lot by how it feels. If someone tries to go in really fast with something big, it's going to fucking hurt like hell, right? But at the same time, you can work up to bigger things. Like I mentioned to the person previously earlier in the podcast, there are people who do fisting that have absolutely no problem with fecal incontinence. I understand that yours is an unusual situation because you're doing the powerlifting, but really it is not something you need to worry about, especially with a toy that's as small as the one as you describe. When you're getting about up to like 6, 6.5 inches in circumference, that's a pretty decent sized toy. That's like 2 inches, and that still is not three fingers. So, you know, get some perspective on this. And then let's see here. What else did you ask me about? Repeated and frequent bruising can lead to cancer. This is something that they talk about in all areas of the body. If you have an area of body that gets repeated, frequent bruising and hammering on it, it is more susceptible to cancer. This is one of their theories, okay? Because they do find cancer in areas of the body that have had repeated and frequent damage to them. The prostate is a gland. You want to be gentle with it. I doubt seriously that, well, I don't know, because I don't know you and your wife, but I doubt seriously that you're going to be doing pile driver imitation. This is things that you would be seeing like in porn clips, which you may or may not have ever seen. But yes, you can hammer in there with a dildo just like you can hammer in there with a cock, okay? So if that's what you're doing, then you're doing it a bit too hard. This is what he's talking about, and this is from a medical professional's perspective. He never did let me know his exact qualifications, but the physiological specificity with which this man wrote me and explained all these things made it quite clear that he has spent some time in an emergency room, which he talks about, as well as had a lot of medical experience. So, the defense of the body wasn't designed for this. Well, at this, yes and no. You can say the body wasn't designed for it, and at the same time, the vast, vast majority of people who do this don't have any problem with it at all, as long as you follow the cardinal rules. Make sure you have plenty of lube, nothing sharp, not too big, not too fast, and you'll be fine. And have fun with the powerlifting. That's an exciting thing. I have a friend who's doing it. Alrighty. So, I think we're done for today. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I know we're done for today. So, a couple of announcements. One is that I am teaching another couple of pegging classes down in Huntington Beach again, which is like south of LA. All you people that live in that area who are interested in taking that class, it's going to be next Sunday, January 25th. And it will start at 1 o'clock. The beginning class will last an hour and a half, have half an hour break, and then the advanced class will last another hour and a half. And we are going to combine this, once again, because we had so much fun last time, with organic wine tasting. These are totally yummy wines. And so it makes for a really fun afternoon. It's very casual. Couples are welcome. Singles are welcome. You don't have to have a partner to attend. There will be no live demonstrations. The most I might do is ask for a volunteer from the audience to demonstrate positions, and we will be clothed. We will be clothed. And there's all kinds of lovely sex toys to take a look at while you're there. We'll have harnesses. We'll have all kinds of fun things. Get all your questions answered. So that's happening. And I'm going to put the link for that on my Linkorama, but it's also already on my blog. And it's, you buy the tickets through Eventbrite. So that's all automated now, which is awesome. So I hope to see a whole bunch of you there. We can actually accommodate probably about up to 20 people. It's not a real big place, but I would love to pack the place with a whole bunch of people who are totally awesomely interested in pegging. Okay, the next announcement I have is that this Friday night, the 23rd, is going to be Body Storytelling again down in LA. And I have been authorized to offer any of my listeners out there who are thinking about going to this a discount code. Woohoo! If you're going to Body and you haven't bought your tickets yet, you can use the coupon code PEGGING. What else would it be? Of course, PEGGING for 25% off the tickets. That can save you a little bundle of money that might be enough to get you a drink down there while you're there at the show. I believe the theme for this Friday night is OK Pervert, which is a play on, of course, OK Cupid. And so there'll be all kinds of stories about dating sites and hookups and Craigslist and what have you. So it should be a very entertaining night. Miss Dixie De La Tour never disappoints with Body storytelling. I hope to see a whole bunch of you there. And as always, I have a hug waiting for anybody who comes up and says, Ruby Ryder, I want a hug. I love to meet my fans, love to meet my listeners, love to meet my readers. And so if you see me there, and you can recognize me because there's a picture of me on my Facebook page, then please do come and say hello. I'd love to meet you. And the show will, again, it's if you've never been to Body, it's one of the most amazing things ever. So imagine that. You could make a whole weekend of it. You could go to Body on Friday night, kind of, you know, get in late on Saturday, mellow out, have a total relaxed Saturday, and then get up Sunday and mosey on over to the pegging class. That could be a stellar weekend. It really could. There are many, many other ways you can spend your weekend, but that, I think, would be pretty damn exciting. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_Ryder. You can like me on my Facebook page, subscribe to my blog. It has all kinds of things that never show up in my podcast, like the picture of the under-the-bust red corset that goes with this podcast story in the beginning. You can subscribe to my blog through a variety of podcasts. Excuse me. You can subscribe to my podcast through a variety of podcast engines. Also, I am on iTunes. And don't forget, I am associated with enticeme.com. I'm going to leave a link in my Linkorama. So all the information I provide you here, I am so thrilled that you're downloading this and listening to it. And if you are buying things, Entice Me always provides body-safe, completely non-toxic toys. We guarantee that. And if you would like to support my work, go there and buy the toys you hear me talking about. And if you have any questions, please send me an email. Any questions on equipment or what have you. Ruby@peggingparadise.com is where you can find me. So happy pegging, everybody, and have a lovely end of the first month of 2015. Wow, how did we get here? And perhaps you'd like to join me in my goal for 2015 in making this the sexiest year of my life ever. Could be fun.